There, there, little Charlie. The nice vet will make you much better.
All right, this is Joseph. Mr. Clayton will see you next.
Oh, thank you. Come along, Charlie. Come along.
Hello, Mrs. Josephs. How's dear old Charlie?
Oh, he's not at all well. Well, look at him. He's shivering. And if you try and stroke him, he winces.
Well, he is a grand old gentleman now, and older doggies do get aches and pains.
But he hardly touched his dinner last night. And it was lamb's liver, his favourite.
Oh, I think it's just a flare-up of his arthritis. I can change his dosage of glucosamine. That'll make his joints a bit less creaky.
I keep thinking there's something we must be missing. Well, aren't there some tests you could do on him?
Well, I could, but it'll mean keeping him overnight.
Oh, yes, but he's always happy with you. It'll be a little doggy holiday.
Oh, all right, Mrs. Josephs. I'll see you tomorrow, then. There's a brave soldier, Charlie. Mm-hmm. Good boy.
Oh, hello again, Mrs. Joseph. What can we do for you next?
Well, if Charlie's going to stay all night, I've brought him his special blanket, and I've got a list of all the things he does and doesn't like.
I'll pass it on for you.
Now, he won't touch sausages, and anything in a tin makes him nauseous.
I know just very soon.
I'll go and tell Mr. Clayton.
Mrs. Josephs, you can't go in there.
Mrs. Josephs, I was just about to phone you.
Hello, little Charlie. What happened to him?
I'm afraid he reacted badly to the anaesthetic.
Anaesthetic? Well, you never said he needed an operation.
He suddenly took a turn for the worse, and I had to act fast. But I'm afraid we lost him.
Oh, Charlie. My poor little Charlie. What has he done to you?
Agatha Raisin by M.C. Beaton. Dramatised for radio by David Semple. Starring Penelope Keith as Agatha. Episode 1. The Vicious Vet.
Mrs. Bloxby, how lovely to see you.
Oh, Mrs. Raisin, please tell me it isn't true.
What isn't true?
That you're leaving us. There was a for sale sign outside your house, and then that disappeared, and we all thought you'd gone back to London, but then your car appeared in the drive, and we thought...
Mrs. Bloxby, I am not leaving this village.
Oh, thank goodness. Oh, I brought you round a lemon cake as a leaving present, but, well, if you're staying, we can still eat it to celebrate.
How could I ever leave a village which has people like you in it? Come in, I've just made some coffee.
Oh, hello, Shivers. You must be glad you're staying in Cardley. London's no place for a cat.
Tell that to Dick Whittington. I can't remember. Do you take sugar?
No, I'm still on my diet. Though it's a bit of a losing battle, I'm afraid. Shall I cut the cake?
Yes, of course.
So, where have you been the past few weeks?
Well, in theory, I've been setting up a PR company in London. Here's your coffee.
Oh, thank you. I thought you'd retired.
And so did I. But then they made me an offer I couldn't refuse.
Oh, I see. Is that what they call a big fat paycheck?
It wasn't exactly fat, more big boned. An old colleague of mine got in touch. He was setting up a PR company and needed a bit of help with the startup costs.
New company? How exciting.
So it seemed. In return for my investment, I would be made a director with a substantial salary, and he had some very high profile clients. Jobson's Electrics, Hazelmere Foods.
Good heaven, that's a good start.
Mm. That's what I thought. I was introduced to their managing director at a launch party I paid for. You know, everyone stands around eating little nibbles, pretentious ingredients in puff pastry.
Sounds rather glamorous.
I should hope it was. It certainly cost a few, Bob. And as I bit into a quail's egg vol-au-vent, I suddenly realised why this man was strangely familiar.
Why?
He'd been on TV the week before in an episode of Casualty.
Goodness! You'd think a top businessman would be far too busy to do any acting.
He wasn't a businessman. He was an actor. He played a surgeon on Casualty. And he certainly tried to stitch me up.
You think he was a con man?
They were all con men. The whole thing was a sham. My so-called friend had fallen on hard times and tried to get me to invest in a non-existent business.
Oh, dear. That's why I like living in a village. The only major fraud is when someone cheats in a pastry competition.
Please don't remind me. You know, Mrs. Bloxby, sometimes I think my year in Carsley has made me lose my killer instinct. I must have a cigarette. So what's been happening while I've been away?
Oh, we've got some very exciting news. You have a new next-door neighbour, a retired colonel called James Lacey.
A colonel? Oh, sounds promising.
He's moved to the countryside to write military history.
That's not so good. Another wet drip comes to Carsley.
He seems rather sweet in a bookish kind of way. Oh, and at long last we have a vet.
And about time, too. I'm fed up with taking chivers all the way to Merchester.
His name's Paul Bladen. Looks rather like Robert Redford.
Really? I must take Chivers along for a checkup.
Oh, why? She seems quite perky at the moment.
Well, you can't be too careful.
Yeah, nice shiny coat, lovely bright eyes. Mrs. Raisin, I have to say your cat is a picture of health. Now, if you're still worried, I could take her temperature.
Thank you. That would put my mind at rest.
So, just hold her steady. Here we go.
Do be careful with her.
Don't worry, I've done this many, many times.
It's all right, Chivers. It's all right.
Yeah, 38 degrees. This is a very healthy cat.
Maybe I'm just being overprotective, but she's not been the same since I collected her from the cattery.
Oh, you've been abroad?
No. I was setting up a new PR company in London.
Oh, you're a professional.
I have run one or two international companies.
Well, I'm impressed, I have to say. It's nice to meet someone who's got an interesting job. Carsley's a lovely place, but I do miss a stimulating conversation.
I know what you mean.
Mrs. Raisin, I hope I'm not being presumptuous, but I've heard there's a rather nice French restaurant in Evesham called La Lune, and I'd love to have someone to visit it with.
That's not being presumptuous at all. And please, call me Agatha.
Agatha. And I'm Paul.
Oh, Chivers, I am so, so sorry about the thermometer. Let's get you home.
Lucky, please. Do calm down.
Excuse me, can you keep your dog under control?
I hardly think Lucky's going to bite through your animal's basket.
Well, if he does, he'll soon be dead, Lucky.
Oh, don't listen to her, Lucky. Lucky, Lucky, Lucky.
You're Frieda Huntingdon, aren't you?
Do I know you?
You're in the Carsley Ladies' Society.
I went once. It was full of small-minded individuals. Is Paul in?
If you have an appointment.
Oh, I don't need one of those. Paul! Darling.
Frieda, come in.
Don't worry, Chivers. The nasty animal has gone, and she's taken her dog with her. Well, Chivers, what shall I wear to impress your lovely vet? I have got this little black dress.
Hang on, I'm coming!
Hello there, Agatha.
Bill Wong, come in.
Oh, thank you.
Long time no see.
Well, it's been very quiet round here. We haven't had any murders recently. You must have been on holiday.
I was just getting ready to meet a friend for dinner. Are you calling about anything in particular?
No, just for a chat. Do I know this friend?
You might do. It's Paul Bladen, our new vet.
Oh, dear, I had a feeling it might be. Saw you outside his surgery the other day.
Why didn't you stop and say hello?
Well, you walked straight past me. You had a faraway look in your eyes, and you had quite a job keeping your balance with those high heels you had on.
Do I detect a note of ridicule?
Agatha, when that man came to this village, everyone thought the sun shone out of his... Well, you know, where he sticks his thermometer. But now people are starting to talk.
And what are they saying?
They say he's not quite as caring as he seems. Mrs. Josephs insists he put her dax in sleep without even consulting her.
Well, if he did, I'm sure there was a good reason. Vets do not kill animals. They keep them alive so they can fleece their owners.
All I'm saying is be careful the company you keep. And if you're going out tonight, do watch the road. There's ice and snow on the way.
It's a perfectly mild evening.
Things can change very quickly in the Cotswolds.
Well, Agatha, How is your duck à l'orange?
Do you want the polite answer or the honest one?
Oh, dear. Hit me with the honest one.
On the positive side, the duck is definitely dead. On the negative side, why do they have to cremate it?
It is rather singed. The standards are definitely slipping.
Oh, have you been here before?
Yeah, I did come when it first opened. As I recall, the food was quite reasonable. Tell me some more about your PR company. That sounded fascinating.
There's nothing to say, really. I ran it for 20 years, and when the business was worth more than a cottage in the country, I sold it and bought a cottage in the country.
You're so lucky, Agatha. You had a dream, and you made it happen.
It took more than dreaming. It was mostly fighting and kicking and screaming and shouting. What's your dream?
Well, I've always dreamed of having my own veterinary hospital, right here in the Cotswolds. I mean, there's so much demand from farmers as well as pet owners, but as always, it's the funding.
You should try the Carsley Ladies Society. They're awfully good at fundraising.
It'll take a little bit more than a few bring and buy sales, though I imagine a successful businesswoman like yourself could give me a few tips.
Well, my first tip is never allow your suppliers to rip you off, which I have to say is what this restaurant is doing to you right now.
Oh, dear. Agatha, this was a terrible choice of restaurant, but I do know a place that does rather good coffee. And if you like, breakfast.
How long have you lived here for?
10 years. Before I started working in Carsley, I had a practice with my brother in Evesham.
What made you leave?
I'm always in the mood for an adventure. Now, let me take your coat.
Paul, I'm...
Oh, Agatha, please. What's the matter?
Well, it's just been such a long time.
Oh, don't worry. It's just like riding a bicycle.
I beg your pardon.
I mean, you don't forget.
Thank you for that image, Paul. I'm sorry, and thanks for supper. And if I have any fundraising ideas, I should be in touch.
Oh, Agatha, can't you at least stay for coffee?
I'm on a detox.
You've had far too much to drink.
Then I'll drive slowly.
It's snowing.
Good, I'll have the road all to myself.
The woman's mad. Totally, utterly mad.
Dear God, I know I haven't spoken to you for 30 years, but please get me home safe. Well, thanks for nothing.
Two questions. Number one, are you all right?
Yes, I'm fine. Just a bit shaken.
Number two, where on God's earth did you learn how to drive?
Excuse me. It is extremely hard to navigate on ice.
Well, Torval and Dean always used to manage.
My brakes weren't working properly.
No, so should have increased your stopping distance to at least 6 inches.
There is no need to be so angry. I hardly touched your car.
Oh, well done, you. Just a slight dent as opposed to the usual five-car pile-up.
Look, I'm fully insured, and I take full responsibility. Here's my card.
Oh, Lord.
What is it now?
You're my next-door neighbour.
What? You must be...
James Lacey.
Oh. Well, at least that means we're both going in the same direction.
Yes, so it does. You can go first. I refuse to be rear-ended twice in one night.
Come in. Excuse the bare boards, just having the place recarpeted.
Here you are. These are my insurance details.
Thank you. I am sorry if I flew off the handle, but my car is a very precious thing. It's my only way to escape from this world of coffee mornings, village fetes, and infinite cups of tea.
No, you don't like it here.
No, it's not that. I came to the countryside to write a book, and every day there's a queue of women popping in with homemade scones, gingerbread men, gingerbread cats.
They never did that for me.
Well, you're welcome to my leftovers.
You're too kind. What's the book about?
The Peninsular War. It's my specialist subject.
It is? My specialist subject is the price of cigarettes in supermarkets in Gloucestershire. How's the book going?
Very well. I'm just finishing the first chapter. Napoleon has persuaded Charles IV to abdicate, so we're about to have the uprising in Madrid. It's a very exciting time.
Fascinating. Well, I must get back. I have a cat, and if I leave her too long, she phones up social services.
You know, I sometimes feel pet owners exaggerate the talents of their prodigies. Well, nice bumping into you. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean it like that. Good night, Mrs. Rosen.
Good night, Colonel Lacey. Hello, Chivers. Yes, that's right, it's me, the lady with the tin opener. I've just been to see your vet, only I wasn't quite ready for his treatment. I better phone and apologise.
Hello.
Is Paul there?
I'm afraid he can't get to the phone at the moment.
Excuse me, who am I speaking to?
I'm Paul's wife. Who are you?
Good morning, Lord Pendlebury.
What? Well, who the devil are you?
I'm Paul Bladen, the new vet. You wanted me to tie back the larynx of one of your horses?
Oh, yes. Lucky Jim. That's him, over there in the stables.
Do you have any staff who can assist me with this?
What? My staff have better things to do than holding your kit bag. Last chap always seemed to manage on his own.
Then I shall see you in an hour or so with my bill.
Now, you are a truly beautiful animal. Not like the mangy little flea bags I see in my surgery. Now, take it easy. This'll just send you to sleep. There you go. Don't you fight it. There you go. What the hell are you doing here? Look, I've done everything you told me to. I said that I would. Hey, get off me. No, please, no.
Found him lying dead on the stable floor. At the moment, we reckon he fell on his syringe.
But that's preposterous. Get out of the way, Chivers.
Well, that's the official line. Nasty stuff, Immobilon. If it sends a horse to sleep, you can imagine what it does to a human.
But surely he would have had an antidote with him.
He did, but he didn't get to it. As with most things, it's easy to be wise after the event, but accidents do happen.
Well, his wife must be devastated.
Wife? He wasn't married.
Really? Oh, I thought he was.
No, he never married. I reckon his motto was, why settle for one slice when you can have the whole cake?
I see. So what was Paul doing to this horse?
Tying back its larynx.
What on earth for?
Well, to stop it roaring on the racetrack.
What a hideous thing to do to a horse.
Oh. Here we go, city folk getting soppy about animals. I'm sure he had a good reason for it. Lord Pendlebury loves his animals. Horse only died because there was no one around to revive it. When I went to see Pendlebury, he was weeping because a beautiful creature had died. Mind you, when I told him a human being had died too, he said yes, but that was only a vet.
Hello. Oh, Mrs. Agatha.
James, have you heard the news about our vet?
Yes, I have, and it's a terrible accident, but I am in the middle of writing a book.
Accident? How can you accidentally stab yourself?
Well, it's simple enough. He injects the tranquilizer into the horse. The horse gets a bit frisky and tries to belt and knocks him onto his own syringe.
That is the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard.
Agatha, as a military historian, I know many people have died through the accidental discharge of their own weapons.
And as a PR executive, I know when something stinks to high heaven and someone's trying to hush it up.
James, who are you talking to?
It's only Agatha.
Oh, Mrs. Raisin. You really do seem to haunt me.
Mrs. Huntingdon?
Oh, lucky you calm down. He's such a sweetie, but he can be a bit naughty with people he doesn't like.
So I see.
I'll take him through to the kitchen. Come on.
I thought you said you were writing a book.
Yes, well, I was in the middle of a chapter, but then Frida called. And then 10 minutes later, you called.
Oh, and Frida's helping you with the book, is she?
Agatha.
Or did she bring around a homemade cake in the shape of Napoleon?
Now, don't be like that.
I'm not. Well, I'll leave you and Frida to get on with your book. I just hope you don't suffer from writer's block.
Bloxby. Sorry I didn't get a chance to speak to you in church.
That's quite all right, Mrs. Raisin. I had a lot of people to see. He was much loved. I think people feel he was taken far too young.
Taken? Do you think it was deliberate?
I mean, taken by God.
Oh, yes, God.
Oh, wasn't that beautiful reading the brother gave? Lord, you made us stewards of this creature. If it is your will, restore it to health and strength.
Sorry, Mrs. Bloxby, did you say that was his brother?
Oh, yes, that's right, Peter Bladen. He's a vet, too.
Oh, not very imaginative parents. One named Peter, one named Paul. I must go and pay my condolences. Nice talking to you, Mrs. Bloxby.
Will we see you at the Carsley Ladies' Society tonight, Mrs. Raisin? Mrs. Raisin?
Excuse me, Mr. Bladen?
Have we met?
My name is Agatha Raisin. I just wanted to say I'm sorry about your brother.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
My car is just round the corner. If I can give you a lift anywhere.
No, thanks. I've got my own.
Right. Would it be possible at some point to have a chat about your brother?
There's always been a lot of women want to talk to me about Paul, usually after he's dumped them. Not much point in talking now, though, is there?
Ladies, now, in view of this week's sad events, we've cancelled Mrs. Mason's display of Turkish belly dancing. Oh, and so this evening is going to be a rather more subdued affair. But before we go any further, I must just read the minutes of last week's meeting. On Thursday, 20th February,
Mrs. Huntington, I thought Carsley ladies were too small-minded for you.
I was desperate for company.
Have a seat.
Thank you. Followed by a much-welcomed cup of tea. This evening, Mrs. Harvey has very generously brought in some homemade apple brandy. And I have made some low-fat cinnamon flapjacks, so please do feel free to sip and munch and mingle. Thank you so much, ladies. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, Mrs. Raisin, he's all yours.
Who is?
James Lacey. I'm through with him.
I beg your pardon. What on earth makes you think I'm interested in James Lacey?
The way you try to hold your stomach in whenever he's near you.
Your imagination is even more lurid than your makeup. James is my next-door neighbour. Nothing more.
Really? Well, anyway, I hope you do better than I did. All he wanted to do was talk about his book, when I just wanted to bite the buttons off his cardigan.
Oh, Mrs. Huntington, how lovely to see you. Did Mr. Bladen get a good send-off?
It was no less than he deserved. He was a wonderful vet.
Oh, do you think so? I found him rather rough with Jivers.
The man was a miracle worker. I mean, look how quickly he cured Lucky's middle ear problem.
A miracle worker? What are you talking about? Bladen was a murderer.
Joseph, you're not still going on about your old Dachshund, are you?
Charlie was just suffering from a bit of arthritis until Bladen got his claws into him.
I don't mean to seem insensitive, Mrs. Josephs, but Charlie was a rather old dog.
Just a bundle of bones, really. Not long for this world.
Charming. I hope no one ever says that about me.
Well, Mrs. Huntington, I'm not surprised you're standing up for him. Your dog wasn't the only one to get the full treatment on his operating table.
How dare you?
Still, at least he cared for one animal, even if it was one with the morals of an alley cat.
Goodness, it is getting hot in here. Mrs. Anderson, come and try some of my flapjacks.
You malicious old crone.
This way, Mrs.
Well, you certainly rattled her.
I've bitten my tongue for long enough. They've all tried to hush me up, but I know things.
About Paul?
About why he came to Carsley and what he was up to. Come to my house tomorrow, Mrs. Raisin. I'll tell you all about Paul Miracle Worker Bladen.
Agatha.
James, are you busy?
Well, I am in the middle of writing a book.
Are you still doing that?
Yes, it may surprise you to learn they do take considerably more than a week.
Well, there's someone I want you to meet.
Oh, not another coffee morning?
No, somebody else in this village seems interested in Paul Bladen.
You're not still hawking your conspiracy theories around, are you?
I am looking for the truth, something I thought would matter to an historian. Still, I suppose your book won't bother with that. You'll just recycle fashionable opinion.
Mrs. Raisin, I don't know about you, but I pay a large amount of tax, so those nice chaps of Scotland Yard can worry about this sort of thing for me.
James,
Some things in life are too important to leave to the professionals. This country would fall apart if it wasn't for volunteers. I mean, where would the NHS be without the St. John Ambulance Brigade?
Well, I'm so glad to hear you're doing it out of community spirit. For a moment, I thought you were just being nosy.
Will you come and see her or not?
It seems it's the only way I'm going to get you off my doorstep.
I'll get my coat.
Mrs. Josephs is taking an awfully long time to answer.
Agatha, haven't you noticed? In a whodunit, when anyone says, come and see me tomorrow, they'll always be found dead in the next scene.
Don't say that, James. Not even as a joke.
I do think this door is locked.
Mrs. Josephs? Mrs. Josephs!
She must have gone out.
James, maybe I've spent too long living in London, but when I go out, I tend to lock the door.
Well, I suppose you can be in the bathroom. Mrs. Josephs? Mrs. Josephs?
Oh, no. It isn't possible.
I'm afraid it is.
Oh, what do you think happened to her?
I don't know. She's stone cold. Doesn't seem to be any sign of a struggle, though.
The poor woman.
Have you got one of those mobile thingies?
Somewhere in my bag. Here it is. You phone, please. I need a cigarette.
You can't smoke in here.
Why not?
There's a dead body there.
And your point is?
They will need to identify the cause of death.
Well, they're not going to pin it on secondary smoking, are they?
There's ash flying all over her.
Will you just make the phone call?
As one uses this thing.
I'll do it. Hold the cigarette. DC Wong, please. Bill, it's Agatha. I'm afraid we've got another body for you.
In Agatha Raisin, Penelope Keith starred as Agatha and Malcolm Sinclair as James. Mrs. Bloxby was played by Liza Sadovy and DC Wong by Ben Crowe, with John Glover as Paul Bladen and Ewan Bailey as Peter Bladen. Gilly Mears was Frieda and Joanna McCullum, Mrs. Josephs. Agatha Raisin was dramatised by David Semple from the novel by M.C. Beaton, and the producer was Carol Smith.